And then if they get totally exhausted, they sit in the sofa and then switch on the screen. And what they watch on the screen is the people going through that same behavior. But for a moment it feels good because it sends you into a kind of semi-trance-like state because they have their problems and they're not mine. But nobody questions whether to live like that is sane or not. Very rarely. Occasionally these days, the truth comes through here and there, even in through the media. Occasionally, in certain films. Occasionally, even on television. Occasionally. But mostly, it's a reflection of the collective dysfunction of the human mind. So this moment, this is the theme of our retreat. Throughout the retreat, and the times when you're not here are as important as the times when you're here, and that's only a way of putting it, because no matter whether you sit here, whether you're walking from here to your room, or whether you're sitting in your room, or in the dining hall, or amongst the beautiful trees, the trails, the lake. It's always now. I can guarantee and predict that no matter where you find yourself here, it will be this moment. Now, our retreat here is to find out, to be attentive, to be alert, in order to know what your relationship is, so to speak, with the present moment, while you're here, in the moment. What is your relationship to this moment? Are you embracing it, whatever form it takes? The forms change. A new person appears in front of you. The mouth opens, speaking happens. Then the person goes. Then steps happen. A tree is there. The beautiful colors. And the next thing comes. What is your relationship to this moment? Particularly, see if you can detect any way in which you avoid this moment, where you are ahead of the moment to some future moment. That could be when you're walking between here and your room, that mentally you're already in your room doing what you're going to do there. And you don't see, while you walk, this beautiful moment, the incredible beauty around you, you don't see it at that moment because you're already doing in your room what you're going to do there. Or even worse, you're thinking about what you will have to do when you get home, back to your life situation, and the dilemma and the problems. Where's the now? What now? No, I need to get home to deal with all that stuff. What am I still doing here? And then you wake up at that moment and you discover your relationship to the present moment, it was one of denial. You don't exist. You're not important at all. Something else is more important, it's some future moment, and that's what I need to think about. The future, of course, is only a mind form. The only place where you can ever encounter the future is in your head. This is such a revolutionary thought, a revolutionary realization, and not even the greatest scientists or philosophers could argue with that. The only place where you ever encounter the future is in your head. Well, yeah, it has to be. Of course it's true. And this, of course, also applies to the past. The only way, place you can ever encounter the past is in your head. And yes, also to some extent as an emotional accumulation in your body, but even that you can only feel at this moment. But whenever you remember the past, it's only the power of now, your consciousness now, that is bringing it to life. You can only think of it now. You cannot think of the past yesterday. And what you think of didn't happen in the past, because nothing can happen in the past. You can't. Now is the prerequisite for being, for life. There's no life apart from now. There cannot be. And now what this now is, we will go into deeper and deeper here. It's in you. There's such depth to now. And whenever we talk about now, we have to approach it through language. Through language which is based on time. Every word, every sentence. And so contradictions arise because we are using something from the world of time to describe something that is beyond time. And then even when I say we are going to go deeper into the now, it sounds a little silly. But that's an inevitable contradiction that arises. It's only because we're using words. But to truly see that there is no future apart from this moment. That the future that you think is so threatening or important that you need to sort out has no existence. And if you realize the primordial importance of the present moment, make that the focal point of your life when we start with this retreat, and you may find that the quality of your life improves so dramatically when you are attentive to this moment and allow it to be. The quality of your life improves so dramatically, and quality is difficult, hard to define. There's then a quality in everything around you that you perceive, that you do. Even when you speak out of denial of the present moment, but fully being fully rooted in the present moment, there's a quality to what you say, because the words, which are thoughts that become words, arise from a deeper level that you are now connected with. When you say yes to this moment, that's the entire spiritual practice. See if you can be in a state of yes to this moment, no matter what form this moment takes. And because this moment takes on so many different forms, people have fallen into the delusion to think that their life consists of millions of moments, and another moment, and another moment, and that past moment, future. No, there's only one moment ever, but the form it takes changes. Continuously. So what is your relationship to this moment? Do you deny it? Do you resist it? Are you in a state of inner contraction? Want to be somewhere else in place or time? Mentally, go elsewhere totally, which is denial of now. Miss it? Are you missing? You miss your entire life if you miss the aliveness of this moment. So what comes is an alertness. What I sometimes call the state of presence is a state of alert attention, relaxed alertness. As you open yourself to the now, as you begin to live in a yes relationship to the present moment, and particularly when something comes in that before you would have rejected, denied, complained about, or run away from internally. In other words, something arises in the now that the mind says, that shouldn't be happening. The soup is cold. It should be hot. But at this moment, the reality is, I'm giving a very simple example. I could give the most dramatic examples of the same dysfunction. It can become the cold soup that you are complaining about internally. I'm not saying, by the way, that the soup here is cold, but you could complain internally about these really shouldn't be. I'm paying all this money, and what am I getting here? Cold soup. This is just a neutral example, I think. So, I'm paying all this. All I'm getting is this cold soup. They should. I'm going to talk to someone about it, and you're eating it. But there's an enormous amount of complaining about it inside. And something in you loves that. What is that that loves going on about it? And if you can find somebody you can talk to, who can agree with you, you can energize each other mutually. Did you taste that soup too? Wasn't it dreadful? Oh, yeah, absolutely dreadful. Now, a very different thing is taking it to the kitchen and say, oh, the soup is cold. Would you mind heating it up again, please? No problem. You're not even complaining. You're simply stating a fact. You're not going, if you go to the kitchen and say, how dare you save me this cold soup? You are in a state of resistance to what is. Because what is the cold soup. And you can substitute anything in your life. And there are far worse things than cold soup. So you are in a state of resistance to the isness of this moment, which is the cold soup. So there is the non-dysfunctional, non-effective way of dealing with it, which is, for example, to complain internally and to someone else, to hope to get some feedback. Yes, you're right. Which something in you loves, and what is it that loves that? It's the mind-made egoic entity, the me. That consists of thought forms that are never enough. And because the thought form of me is never enough, what it loves is to be right about something, because it can add the position of rightness temporarily to its sense of self. I'm absolutely right about this cold soup. And now, of course, somebody has to be wrong, and it's the kitchen staff and the whole place, and it's the people who, all the chefs of the world, whatever madness you can think, somebody has to be wrong, and so there's something satisfying in living in a state of resistance or denial of the isness of the present moment. That's why it is so all-pervasive in humans. There must be some payoff when they continuously resist and complain and deny the present moment. And what is the payoff? It's unconscious, of course. When you make it conscious, you're beginning to step out of it. And this is why it's good here to look at it, because it may come up in you, even as you're here, not necessarily the cold soup. It'll be something else. There's hardly ever a situation that does not bring up certain things of that kind. So, the isness of this moment, at this moment, there is nothing you can do about the cold soup, because it, you cannot argue with isness. It is cold. What do you want? It is. Is. So that is your, what is your relationship then to the isness of this moment? You reject, you say, this is how it is. It's cold. Then, of course, you have a choice. You're free. You can eat the cold soup and say, that tastes okay too. Or you can say, it doesn't taste good, but I'm eating it anyway. Or you can take it to the kitchen, say, could you please heat up this soup? It's cold. Without falling into the delusion that you are right and somebody else is wrong, and attempting to strengthen your self, sense of self by making someone wrong. How dare you, personalize the whole thing. When you do that, how dare you serve me this cold soup? Me. And so to the ego, that is very satisfying. It doesn't feel good. The body knows that it doesn't feel good when you're in that state. The body, if you could examine the physiological things that accompany that state, you would see that it doesn't, it affects the blood circulation, it affects the heart, it affects your breathing, it affects the entire energy field of your body, which is contracted. And now imagine humans living most of their lives in such states of denial. What that does to the body also, just that's just a small thing compared to what it does to their well-being. My God. So watch out for the things that would usually create a response of resistance. And see if you can allow this moment to be whatever form it takes, whether you can recognize the isness as something that it would be mad to argue with. And if anything needs to be changed about the isness of this moment, very effective action arises out of the state of non-resistance. Far more powerful, far more effective than any action that comes out of the state of denial or resistance of the present moment. So, it's not that you become a doormat, that anybody can do anything to you and you say, oh, that's fine. It's not that. It's not that. Very often a no may come. No, I'm not eating this soup because it is cold. No. Powerful no. So when I say yes to this moment, which is our practice here, it's easy to mistake that for believing, and then believe that you have to say yes continuously, externally. That's fine. Can you give me $1,000 right now? Oh, yes, of course. Because I always say yes to the present moment. And is it okay if I buy drink and drugs with this? Yes, it's fine. Go ahead. Anytime. Or somebody stops, you're waiting for the bus, somebody stops, you can smell the alcohol and says, you want a ride? Do you say yes because you say always yes to the present moment? No. You say, no, thank you. What you don't say is, how dare you offer me a ride? You're completely drunk. You should. You might even say, get out of the car, you're drunk. And it might work, it will be powerful. Step out, walk home. Maybe he'll do it. Right action arises out of that, and sometimes a very powerful no. But it doesn't mean that you resist what is. What is this person is asking you for money, let's say, and he's asking you 10 times already. You've given twice and he never gives anything back. And then the time comes, yes, can I have another? No, I'm not giving you any more. Oh. Internally, you're not resisting that. You accept the fact that this man is asking for money. That's what he does. That's his conditioning. He can't help it. But that's what he does. So that's the isness of the present moment, is this person wanting that from you. And what arises then out of the state of acceptance of this isness is not some kind of inner rejection of this person even. In a wider sense, when you accept this moment, every human being that comes into the space of now is also accepted as they are, which doesn't mean that you do whatever they want you to do. But they are accepted, and if their behavior is dysfunctional, conditioned, that's how it is. And you say no, if no arises. No. And it's a non-reactive no, powerful no. 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 And that's quite beautiful too. So out of the inner yes to what is may occasionally arise an external no to the situation, which doesn't mean you reject internally what is at all. So you become very, very powerful. You become a power that is greater than the conditioned force that is in the human mind can act through you when you live in alignment with the isness of this moment. Inner alignment with is, and do not argue with it. You recognize that you cannot. What is at this moment as it is and cannot be otherwise at this moment. It doesn't mean you cannot act, change, help. But it right now, that is. And that, what we see as an event, we isolate it by calling it an event, something that happens. But if you could see on a deeper level that there is no isolated event anywhere in the universe, the totality of the universe brings about this so-called event. The form that this moment takes cannot be otherwise it wouldn't be. It's connected to everything else, all the totality. So what is inevitable. It doesn't mean that now you cannot act, that now you cannot help. But you have recognized, first of all, the inevitability of this. So the action that arises and the energy that you bring to it is one of enormous empowerment, which you were cut off from when you denied the power of this moment. You denied also the power that lies concealed in this moment. When you deny the form that this moment takes, you deny the enormous power that's concealed underneath it. And that becomes very obvious and very so incredible when something really dreadful happens in your life. And it may be that there's no action that you can take. Sometimes you say yes to this moment, but you know that action arises and you do something to change. You fall into a river, it's cold, and then you get out if you can. And then you are there shivering. That's how it is. You don't bring a whole level of psychological suffering onto it. It's enough to be cold and shivering. Why do you need to suffer on top of that? It's just shiver. It's cold. But there's nobody in the head complaining about it. It's just the moment you complain, you personalize the whole thing, you become a victim of circumstances in your own mind, you become somebody who needs to be right as against circumstances, and you strengthen the whole dysfunction. And what kind of action can arise out of that? Further dysfunctional action. It's called karma. The end of karma is to live in alignment, not to react against the present moment. Respond to the needs of the now, yes. Not react against the form that this moment takes. Because karma, the word in Sanskrit, means action, action and reaction. That becomes a wheel, so it's pictured as a continuous wheel. You step out of this wheel of action, reaction, reaction. So what are you reacting against? The form that this moment takes. I don't like it. There's something wrong with it. Shouldn't be happening. With that little thing, everything, your entire life shifts when your relationship to the present moment shifts. Then the future, the so-called future, looks after itself, because what we call future is just is now. It comes out of now, the form. Jesus tried to get that. He tried, he said, look, why are you concerned about what's going on? Look at the flowers, how they live, how beautifully clothed they are. Look at the birds. They are not worried. They are not anxious. See how they live, free of problems, free of dilemma, not concerned about tomorrow. Learn how to live from nature, he said. Look at the birds and the flowers. See how they live. You can live like that too. And your beauty will be even greater than the beauty of the flower, which is very great. There's a beauty in you that is even greater. And that, all that emerges. And then all the things that you think you need, they will come to you. The morrow, in the old translation of the New Testament, it says, the morrow will take care of the things for itself. When you live in such a way, that comes first. It's so people get this wrong. They think, okay, the morrow will take care of everything. Not unless you live in alignment with now. Then your life unfolds. There is an intelligence that comes into your life through you, and out of that, that also affects the external circumstances of your life, and it even affects your life situation, the dilemma and the problems. Not that a certain amount of change will ever disappear. Things will come and things will leave you. Things will come into your life and things will dissolve. That must continue in the world of form. But that can unfold much more harmoniously when you live in alignment with is. And so that's our practice here. Many of you are already practicing. You try it out here. It requires alertness. It requires you to be alert to see what your relationship is to the present moment. At this moment. So you need a certain degree of alertness is needed.
Lesson 1 continued on disc 2.
And so that's our practice here. Many of you are already practicing. You try it out here. It requires alertness. It requires you to be alert to see what your relationship is to the present moment, at this moment. So you need a certain degree of alertness is needed. And so it also implies that your sense perceptions will become sharpened, because very often you will find yourself looking and listening with greater intensity, greater clarity, as you walk from here to there, as you sit, lie, stand. And the amazing thing is, when you no longer deny this, the isness of now, the stream of mental noise that we call thinking, that is totally conditioned by the past, slows down. And you may encounter spaces of pure, alert, aware presence. You may find yourself looking at a tree or a flower or the sky in a state of simple, alert clarity. And you are so aligned with this beautiful moment that there is no need to add something to it by labeling it mentally in any way or interpreting it in any way. Nothing is needed. Nothing needs to be added to the incredible aliveness, the incredible beauty that's already here. And before, you couldn't see it because you could only see it through very obscurely through some screen of that thinking screen. And then you might walk through nature and say, oh, there's a pretty flower. And the mind goes on. Oh, look at that tree. That must be an oak tree. I wonder how old it is. Yes. And then on to the next. And this is, so the cessation of the involuntary stream of thinking that most people are totally trapped in comes with the yes to what is. You don't need to say, okay, I have to stop my mind. That usually doesn't work. Occasionally, people who are in extreme agony of suffering, occasionally that can stop your mind. But unfortunately, that's not your case. So we have to make do with what we have here. And that is, you've suffered enough. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't. You've suffered enough because you see what an unsatisfying place the world is when you are not connected with that which is beyond and deeper. But when you are connected, and the portal is now, when you are connected, the world isn't really that unsatisfying anymore because your expectations are considerably lower. Now, that sounds negative, but let me explain. You no longer expect that some person or some situation or some achievement or some place or some possession should make you fulfilled and happy. You're no longer looking to the world to make you happy, to give you, to add to you, to finally make the sense of self complete. Now I'm full. I've got everything. Just wait. Either you lose again, or you're so full that you become more and more unhappy again. It's too much. I'm traveling all the time, first class. I'm eating thrice a day in the best restaurants. I've got all the men and women I want. They all run after me because I'm so wealthy. I can't take anymore. It's all so unreal. It's all so meaningless. So when you don't, you no longer expect the world to make you happy. With the world means what I've just listed: possession, place, person, to fulfill you. Please make me happy. And when you don't have that expectation anymore, when the world, which really comes down to the form that this moment takes, is allowed to be as it is right now, internally, it is allowed to be as it is. There you are. This is the form that this moment takes. It is as it is, and it is allowed to be as it is. Then life becomes very satisfying. Because you don't expect your satisfaction from that form. Your satisfaction comes from the allowing of this form, which takes you to a deeper place, to a place of great spaciousness within. Because there's suddenly, when you allow this moment, there is space around this moment, inner space, one could say. And that is a space of peace and stillness around even the most seemingly unpleasant event. Oh. Oh. And that is deeply satisfying. And it doesn't depend on what happens or does not happen. Another word for this is surrender to life. It doesn't mean you become weak. The opposite is, you are very weak when you are not surrendered to life. When you are surrendered to life, life flows through you, the very intelligence that underlies the entire universe moves through you and can express itself fully through you. You become strong in surrender, not as a little egoic entity. Deeper, not by cutting yourself off, not better than, no, not through comparison, from a deep place within. Oh. So there is another way to live. A shift is possible, not only possible, it has become absolutely necessary for humanity to step out of the collective dysfunction of the human mind. And that's why we are here, and why this teaching, so-called teaching, which isn't a teaching really, that comes to you from the outside, it arises from within. If it were not arising already from within you, you wouldn't be here. It's as if you were listening to the truth being spoken from within you. That's really how it is. And you recognize the truth. It's so obvious. When you look at the dysfunction, it's so obvious. Denying the now, making it into an obstacle, an enemy, how absurd. And going beyond, it's so obvious that you can live differently without needing, again, not falling into the error that you need to become something that you are not now. I need to become enlightened at some future point. I need to work towards that. One day I'm going to make it. You've fallen into the same mental trap again, which is projecting a future self that is seen to be perfect, again, you're lost in future, parental projection. You don't, for this shift to happen, you don't need future. This is the amazing thing. The mind will always come back in and say, okay, you need to work on this, get good at it, better at it, or it's not enough yet. All you need is allow this moment to be, whatever form it takes. And this includes inner forms, emotions that come. What can you do? It's there. Anger, fear, it may come. Less when you live in alignment with now, you can see how quickly those painful emotions subside. But for a while, they're still there. And they arise. That's what is. I can feel this vibration here. Could be called fear, perhaps. All right, that's how it is. Not resisting. I'm allowing. It is not personal. The more you allow, the more you realize how little personal there is in what you thought was uniquely personal. Human emotion, that's all. A human emotion. Oh. And it ceases to be problematic. Oh. Allow. So the miraculous thing is you don't need to become anything. Just allow what is there. So I've say that some people want to become a spiritual master. That's an idea in the head. Any spiritual, so-called spiritual master who has the idea in the head that I'm a spiritual master is already lost. Because there's a mental image of who you are. Now, I'm a so-called spiritual teacher at this moment. If I walked out of here and carried in my head the image of me, the spiritual teacher, that would become a dreadful burden. I would be based again in thought. I would have to live up to some image, expectation. Fear would quickly arise. What are they going to think of me tomorrow? But not to carry an identity, not a future identity of me as a spiritual teacher, a spiritual master. What is spiritual mastery? Spiritual mastery is to live in alignment with this moment. What do I need to become a spiritual master? Say yes to what is. That's what how a spiritual master lives. He doesn't resist, he or she doesn't resist what is. And is therefore empowered. The master doesn't demand that the form of this moment should be perfect always. It's not in the nature of forms to be perfect always. There is an imperfection in almost any situation that you go into. And that's fine and good. That is no longer a source of suffering when you recognize it's in the nature of form to go wrong here and there. It does nothing wrong ultimately, but to shift, to change. So the most wonderful place will have a downside to it. Of course it will. The tropical paradise. Friends of mine went to Bali, they hired a cabin in the most beautiful surroundings, paradise, the air like velvet, the scent of flowers. Wow! They started cooking a meal and suddenly they heard strange scratching noises on the roof and on the windows and there were rats looking in. And then they learned to live with rats. They had realized what they had to do to keep them out. And you don't expect the forms to be continuously perfect. They are not. So here too, you are in this retreat center, there will be certain imperfections. level of form, in your room, in your bathroom, in the dining hall, who knows where, the most unexpected places. Oh no. This is supposed to be my great time off. I've waited for this and now I'm here and this isn't right. Ah, the world of form. Oh, I've forgotten it's the world of form. And then you can allow it, unless you choose to say something about it. Can you please change this? Maybe they can, maybe they can't. But it is as it is. So you live with the so-called imperfections of the world of form, and when you say yes, that's actually not so bad at all. You actually begin to become comfortable with that. You recognize them again and again. Oh, here it comes again. Ah, and when something leaves you, because things tend to do, you get something and something leaves you again. Say, ah, Buddhists sometimes use the word, I think it's anicca, impermanence. Oh, impermanence. Oh, okay, that's how it goes. So, that's the practice. It's so simple here. It just requires a little bit of alertness. What's your relationship to now? Are you aligned with it? Do you bring a yes to it? If not, you can notice that. And by noticing that you are not aligned with now, you can easily step, the very noticing is a stepping out of the non-alignment. Ah, okay. And then you're back in now. Oh, okay. Step back. We'll also see the inner body, of course, as many of you know, can be used as an anchor for staying present, to feel the aliveness in your inner energy field. That becomes an anchor for staying rooted in now. Especially at night when involuntary thought processes start playing up. And you just can't stop it. It's like a river, it's like a stream. It goes, and it can be dreadful, dreadful torture. You're not, of course, it's totally useless. You're not arriving at any conclusion. No possible realization can come out of that. All realizations come out of a moment of space, spacious stillness. Ah, that's what I have to do. Okay. But not out of that stream. And so you can choose to put your attention. The mind doesn't like it. The mind, which is the combined thought forms that are happening to go through your head, in your head, they want to keep your attention in there. And you say, okay, I'm going to feel my hands now. And then you feel the aliveness that is still there, miraculously. And in your feet, there's an aliveness, and in your legs. Ah. And then you can feel the pull of your thinking. You must think about this. No, I'm in my hands. Feel. Ah. Oh. Legs. And suddenly, it's good. All your attention is moved from the head into the body. And suddenly you realize you're not in hell, you're in a warm bed. And then you realize how benign and benevolent, mostly, not always, the present moment actually is. The reality of now compared to the hell that the human mind can create and often does create. How benevolent this moment is. And this is just one example of when you lie in bed and your head creates hell. Thank you. I wish you a pleasant night.
This concludes lesson 1.